Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
To the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. My name is Alex Hader Winnett. I am this year's ministerial intern and campus minister.
I am Jackie Leva Conklin, and I am today's worship associate, and we are so glad to be together with you.
As Unitarian Universalists, we believe that every person is inherently worthy and dignified. You are welcome here. No matter how you identify, whom you love, the color of your skin, the money in your pocket, or where you spent the night, no matter your questions about God or the universe or everything, you are welcome into this community.
To acknowledge all that is held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world. For the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. Flame of fire, spark of the universe that warmed our ancestral hearth. Angel of life and death. Symbol of truth and freedom. We strive to understand ourselves and our earthly home. As we celebrate the lighting of the Advent candles, there will be a response for you to say. I'll invite you to repeat it with me when the time comes. It is also printed in your order of service. Advent is a Christian season of waiting and begins 4 weeks before Christmas. It names our yearning for a time when hope, peace, joy, and love support every being, including the living earth. This is the second Sunday of Advent. The first candle is lit for hope. The second is lit for peace. In this season, we are waiting for peace, when those who have power create change with gentleness, when the walls that divide countries dissolve, and people of every race, class, and sexual identity are recognized for our worth and dignity. We are waiting for the time when courage and resistance bring an enduring peace. We are waiting, and we are ready for peace. We are waiting, and we are ready for peace.
So, experiencing mystery, this is a version of a story written by Annika Harris called I Wonder. Ava loves to look at the moon, and it follows her from place to place, it seems, disappearing behind trees, disappearing behind mountains, and then appearing someplace else. "Look, there it is," she says to her mother. "The moon is so beautiful in the sky. How do you think it follows us?" her mother asks. Ava thinks about it and can't figure it out. "It's okay to say, I don't know," her mother says. "I wonder if the earth and the moon are friends," says Ava. And her mother smiles. "I like that idea. How does the moon stay so close to us?" Ava asks. "Well," her mother said, "there's an invisible force called gravity that pulls all things in the universe together," she explains. "Gravity keeps the moon close to the earth, and it keeps planets close to the sun. And then they circle like this, But where does gravity come from? Well, I don't know, Ava. Nobody knows for sure. And when no one knows the answer to something, it's called a mystery. A mystery is something for everyone to wonder about together. When they walk together on the beach, Ava asks, how many grains of sand are in the whole world? Well, I wonder about that too, said her mother. There are trillions and trillions of grains of sand, but no one knows exactly how many. So Ava tries to imagine about all the grains of sand, but she can't. It actually makes her really dizzy. Well, one day when they walk in the woods, first there's one butterfly, one orange butterfly, and then Ava notices clouds of orange butterflies everywhere. Where did they come from? Ava asks. They've been flying around here for days, her mother said. It's part of their life cycle. They are eggs and then cocoons and caterpillars and finally butterflies, and the cycle begins again. When one thing begins, another ends. Everything is always changing. And finally, Ava asks, what was there before all the butterflies and the grains of sand and the moon, before everything? I don't know, her mother answered. And sometimes it's really okay to not know the answer to everything. We can wonder together. Annika Harris was looking for a story that didn't have the answer to the questions. And she couldn't find one. And so she wrote this story to show that sometimes it's just a mystery. And we don't have the answer. And that's okay. And she said, if we don't model that for each other, no matter what age we are, then we snuff out curiosity and the willingness to just explore. Because there is so much shame in our culture about not having the answer, that sometimes people tell untruths to cover what they don't know. And what a loss that is for all of us. So, I have a riddle for you. And remember, it's okay to say, I don't know. When I first appear, I seem mysterious, but when I am explained, I am nothing serious. What am I? Excellent response. Does anyone else want to try? Oh, I'll do it again. When I first appear, I seem mysterious. But when I am explained, I am nothing serious. College? No. Although that could be true. A riddle. So, the riddle. Okay, one more. Let's see. We are a pair. We can dart here and there. Though we always stay in one place, we can smile or shed tears, show our pleasure or fears, and you'll find us on everyone's face. Eyes. Riddles are friends in mystery.
And now we welcome Pat Moore Pickett as she speaks to us about the Interfaith Rotating Winter Shelter.
Hi, everybody. You may have already noticed that sign-ups have started and are in full swing at the tables near the windows out in the social hall. And I am grateful for all the interest and the committed participation. I'm especially psyched by all the families who have come by wanting to figure out a way to participate together, and parents often prompted by their children. I can't think of a better way for families to be together during the holidays. Well, maybe there's baking cookies. But to work together, to give to others, And depending on your ages, there are several ways families can work together to help the shelter. One is all families can help unload the truck when it arrives our very first Sunday after the second service. There will be something for everyone to carry. And Chris Sanborn has agreed to help lead the effort and manage the chaos. If you're 10 or already good in the kitchen, you can sign up to cook something at home and bring it as part of the meal, and the guests will be delighted to have you sit down and join with them in eating it. The bigger kids might be able to help out with the kitchen crew that's set up or clean up. And if you're an older high school student, there is a support group that is mentored by adults in our community, and you could also sign up for an overnight shift with your parent. It will not be the first time that's happened. I'm grateful for what I learned from the guests, just spending time together, learning how to trust one another. When we take time to sit down with the guests, yes, sometimes I find that they don't want to talk, but sometimes they surprise us with their interests, their previous careers, or maybe a moment of kindness. And then this magic happens when we find out that we appreciate one another. We are helped by each other across our disparities in housing, across faiths, across ages. We find we're truly connected. Another way to connect is to volunteer at the intake center. They're asking for more volunteers this year, and it's something you can sign up for anytime this winter. We hope you especially sign up during our week and we can connect with you there. There you can work. And this year it's at the St. Martin's Church, right behind Trader Joe's. It's pretty central and easy to get to from here. You can be on the welcoming team, greeting the guests as they come in, or you can be on the interview team, finding out if someone's fully functional to participate in the community, or maybe needs medical or social services. And to work in intake, you just need to be there from 4:45 to 6:45. And there are experienced intake workers who will let you shadow them until you're comfortable doing it on your own. I'm really grateful this year to our campus interns. They come in, they check in the guests, they make the whole process hum. And other interns have signed up to do some of our overnight shifts. And we don't just let them do it for us. They actually need an adult to be there with them. And so there are multiple nights available to work with these fine young people, especially in the first part of the week. But don't sign up for more than one shift this week. I'm grateful for all the folks I've gotten to know, you salt of the earth people, while we do this project every year. And by working together with Lindsay Weston, I can tell you I've come to appreciate her creative and generous soul. And now I get to call her my good friend. So if you're yearning for a connection, for a chance to give or be of service, to begin to understand the dilemmas of homelessness through generous listening with our guests, then see us in the social hall. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. So now you are entering into the twilight zone, in a way, into the time of evensong. So you just have the word evensong on your order of service, but we actually have a whole lot more in what we're looking at right here. I just want to say before we move into evensong that next Sunday night from 6:30 to 7:30, there's a mysterious program that we'll be doing that works well with both what Alex will be doing next week and this service as well, because Ted and Eleanor Swift will be outside in the darkness with telescopes. to look up at the night sky, and we'll have stories and cookies for that 1 hour inside. And you can go outside and be cold and look through those telescopes, assuming there's no rain, and look at the mystery that's up there, and then come in and have a cookie and, you know, get warm and go back out again. But we'll be here just for that 1 hour from 6:30 to 7:30. And again, it really works well with both Alex's message next week and what you're going to hear today. And I also want to welcome Devin Bradshaw, who is sitting right behind me, and she's creating a second voice with a violin. Normally, a service, it lasts about 40, 45 minutes on a Sunday night called Evensong, and it's not going to go anywhere in that it doesn't build to a sermon. So you're invited to relax, to reflect, to let your mind go someplace else. It's an experience. Do not look to the AV team to create lyrics for you. They don't have them either. They are innocent. So sometimes they'll be repeated. You know, I'll sing them and you'll do the response. And if you think, well, that's too hard for me, then just hum. And if you think, that doesn't work for me, let it just surround you. Just relax. There may be some mystery for us too in this. And so we begin. I ask you to join with me in singing as you can. And there's a lot of repetition. So there is a book that was written in the last half of the 14th century called The Cloud of Unknowing. The author is anonymous, and the book was an inspiration to the early church, the early Christian mystics specifically, and it continues to inspire people today. Several works have been attributed to the same author, and the repeated theme through all of this person's writing is, I urge you to learn from the immersion into experience. That's my language. Don't depend on the intellect for all of your knowledge. And this is a direct translation. Knowledge tends to breed deceit, but love builds. Knowledge is full of labor, but love full of rest. Evensong is an experience rather than an intellectual opportunity. The readings, the songs, the meditations aren't printed for you today. They are not printed on Sunday evenings because we don't want you to be looking at a piece of paper. The participants trust that one moment will flow into another. This is an act of trust. And for all of us, it's an act of accepting mystery and welcoming it and not being afraid of it. Songs or portions of songs are repeated many times. Again, you can sing, you can listen, you can just allow that music to surround you. Blend your voice with others around you and add harmony as you wish. Play with it. This is a time of rest in preparation, maybe for your day, but certainly for a season that can be very frenetic, as we all know. The Reverend David Bamba was actually my supervising minister, and he is a very strong humanist whose language expresses his connection with what cannot be known. And these are his words. My faith is not rooted in knowledge, though I lust to know all I can know. My faith is rooted in awe and wonder, in a world so mysterious that it forever escapes the net of words with which I attempt to ensnare it. My faith is not rooted in knowledge, though I lust to know all I can know. My faith is rooted in awe and wonder, in the world so mysterious that it forever escapes the net of words with which I attempt to ensnare it. As we say in our Sunday evening evensong service, touch down in this place and in this time so that you can take flight.
Mystery Found in Wonder and Awe by Eleanor Lerman. I am out before dawn, marching a small dog through a meager park. Boulevards angle away. Newspapers fly around like blind white birds. 2 days in a row, I have not seen the meteors, though the radio news say they're overhead. Leonid's brimstones are barred by clouds. I cannot read the signs in heaven, and I cannot see night rendered into fire. And yet I do believe a net of glitter is above me. You would not think I still knew these things. I get on the train, I buy the food. I sweep, discuss, consider gloves or boots, and in the summer, open windows, find beads to string with pearls. You would not think I have survived anything but the life you see me living now. In the darkness, the dog stops and sniffs the air. She has been alone. She has known danger, and so now she watches for it always, and I agree with the convictions of my mistakes. But in the second part of my life, slowly, slowly, I begin to counsel bravery. Slowly, slowly, I begin to feel the planets turning, and I am turning toward the crackling shower of their sparks. These are the mysteries I could not approach when I was younger. The boulevards, the meteors, the deep desires that split the sky, walking down the paths of the cold park. I remember myself, the one who can wait out anything. So I caution the dog to go silently, to bear with me, the burden of knowing what spins on and on above our heads. For this is our reward. Come Armageddon, come fire or flood, come love, not love, millennia of portents. There is a future in which the dog and I are laughing. Born into it, the mystery, I know we will be saved.
Although I cannot see them, I know a net of glitter is above me, the planets turning, crackling shower of sparks, a larger mystery holds us, laughing. In this we will be saved. It'll be call and response.
Beyond the glow of the streetlights and porch lights, through the mist of my breath, I look up to the celestial sky. Having just completed the rush of preparing dinner and shuttling through the last routines of the day, the light from the stars move me to stillness, to quietness, finally aware again of the sound of my own breathing. My forehead softens as I look up in wonder at the North Star, aware that its light has traveled for centuries before passing through the branches of the maple tree in our front lawn.
I admire its beauty and I think of the Patwin, the native people who lived where my house stands, and my own heritage, native, European, African. I imagine a time when the answers to the paradoxes of the universe were explained with very different answers, with more space for mystery, with more space for just being. Here is where I notice myself standing under the maple tree, watching my breath form a mist in the cold night air, as seen by the light of the moon. Reflecting on mystery, I recall the dramatic shift in my life when my first child was born. He came to us at a high point in my career, a position that fit every description that I had imagined and hoped. The pregnancy started easy, but took a turn. After a couple months of bed rest, when each day I was uncertain if the labor would stop, I became accustomed to thinking in the present moment, controlling only that which was within my control, and not expecting to know the unknown future. When my maternity leave ended and I was not ready to return to work, I chose to leave my position with the expectation of returning when the time was right. I found that question of when to return to be exhausting. When would the time be right? When should I return? I could circle round and around and never get any closer to the answer. Finally, I gave myself permission to not know the answer and to live into what would be the right choice for me. It turns out I never returned, and my life is more fulfilling than I would have ever imagined. While I would have never guessed the outcome when I chose to embrace the unknown, I learned through experience the truth of the words of Martin Luther King Jr. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step.
Mystery found in not knowing. Living with uncertainty in a certainty-obsessed culture, by Maria Popova. Carl Sagan's words, if we ever reach the point where we think we thoroughly understand who we are and where we came from, we will have failed. This must be what Rilke, too, had at heart when he exhorted us to live the questions. And yet, if there is one common denominator across the entire history of human culture, it is this insatiable hunger to know the unknowable. That is, to know everything and to know it with certainty and to speak of it with certainty, which is in itself the enemy of the human spirit. And I love Rilke's letters to a young poet. And in this paragraph, he's speaking to a young man who's in the army, who wants to be a poet, and who's saying, how can I do this? And this is his answer. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms, like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given to you, because you would not be able to live them now. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. I love that advice and often read it in weddings when I'm working with couples. There are some life questions that have no immediate answers. I know I've had them in my life. Relationships that are foundering, relationships that are beginning, life decisions that are complicated with so many possible solutions, friendships that have ended and we wonder why and we can't figure it out. We search for clarity and clarity just won't come. So sometimes it's our job to stop trying to find the answer and to just surrender. Except that we have been given a riddle and we can't find the answer. And then, as the Quakers say, way will come clear. Sometime, the answer will likely reveal itself, not by our insistence, but by some mysterious convergence of clues that just couldn't be forced. And so we enter into a responsive prayer written by Gordon McKeeman. How does one address a mystery? Cautiously. Let us go cautiously, then to the end of our certainty, to the boundary of all we know, to the rim of uncertainty, to the perimeter of the unknown which surrounds us. And I invite you to sing. Just to be is a blessing, just to be is a blessing, just to live.
Let us go reverently. Let us go with a sense of awe, a feeling of approaching the powerful, holy lightning slashing the sky. The persistent energy we cannot name that splits concrete with green sprouts. The miracles that are present in every place and moment.
Just to be is a blessing, just to be is a blessing, just to live is holy, just to live is holy.
We address mystery hopefully, out of our needs for wholeness in our own lives, the reconciliation of mind and heart, the conjunction of reason and passion, the intersection of timeless with time.
Just to be is a blessing, just to be is a blessing, just to live is holy, just to address mystery quietly, for no words will explain what can't be described with language or summon the life force that is always present, even in our absence. And what shall we say? We can speak of anything, anything, any anger, any hope, any fear, joy, a request, any word that comes from the depths of the human being to the being itself. Or perhaps we say nothing, no complaint, no request, no entreaty, no thanksgiving, no praise, no blame, no pretense of knowing or not knowing. And Gordon McKeeman said, simply be in the intimate presence of mystery, unashamed, unadorned, unafraid. When mystery holds us, we accept its presence as a companion, welcoming what ancients called that cloud of unknowing. Simply be in the intimate presence of the mystery, unashamed, unadorned, unafraid. And in the end, what shall we say? Just amen. The end. Just to be is a blessing, and just to live is holy. In Evensong, we end the evening by forming a really tight circle, shoulder to shoulder. And one person is in the center, and we sing to them and through them. And it's a little scary, a little risky, you know, to step into that circle. But every time people do this, one after another, we're not going to ask you to do that exactly today, simply because there are so many of us. Not because I don't think you would be courageous. There is one more chant. And so I'll invite you to stand as you are able. And if you're next to someone who cannot stand or chooses not to, please be with them. But it means that our sides, when you're way in the corner and it's nice and dark, you know, come in closer. So really to look at each other, to be together with this chant. Again, a simple chant. And if you don't want to sing, let it surround you. If you catch on later, join us. So I invite you to rise in body or spirit, to come in close, because you're really going to be blessing each other. The words are so, so simple, and they are from St. Teresa of Avila. And what she said is that each person has this piece of the divine, whatever we consider that to be, within them. It is available to you always. And to never let go of that knowledge. And the lyrics are so easy. All will be well. All will be well. All manner of things will be well. It's not talking about whether you have had a good day, a good breakfast, whether you've been frustrated by something. It means deep in the depths of your being, that there's a sense that I will be well. I'm held in community. So help us with piano so we can hear the melody. You're going to sing it a number of times. Things will be well, given this community and your care for each other, your care for those who come here in need. May all manner of things be well. And Jackie, you'll finish our evening, morning, whatever. It feels like evening to me, afternoon.
We acknowledge the sorrows and the joys in our lives, knowing that they wait for us outside the sanctuary. And we extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment.
And we
have
yet
keep in our hearts,
yes,
until we're together again.
Let there be a season when holiness is heard and the splendor of living is revealed. There are inexplicable mysteries.
We are not alone. In the universe, there moves a wild one whose gestures alter Earth's axis toward love.
Believe in that love. Believe in that love. Let this congregation say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.